And so this morning, I just want to minister on breakthrough fasting. Because just as he said, and just as Pastor said, there were moments in this service where maybe you let the enemy, when you felt that urging, you want to move forth. You wanted to get out in the aisle and you wanted to worship more freely. You just wanted to take a step. There were several of you, I believe, Pastor, that felt that way. There may have been some in the building that even wanted to come and kneel because they felt, God, I need you so much. See, the hunger and the passion is getting more and more and more. And the Word of God tells us that he that seeks me will find me. Now, I know we all have our stuff. It's obvious that we do. The enemy comes to kill. He comes to steal. He comes to destroy. We all know that. But I tell you, when we can give a revelation that Jesus came to give us life, and that totally cancels out the plan of the enemy to steal and kill and destroy. Sometimes we just quote the first part. Well, you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why you're going through all this stuff. But Jesus came to give me life. And so if Jesus came to give me life, then I'm going to live it. I want to do my very best to live every moment without regrets. Do I have things back here that I wish hadn't happened? Absolutely. But everything that happened back then that I didn't let take me down and I got back up on my feet is who we are today. Because we didn't allow the enemy to rule and to reign. Because see, that's what he wanted to do in heaven. And he got kicked out. It was like lightning. He got kicked out so fast. It was just like that. It came and gone. And the angels that were singing around the throne and weren't following Lucifer's pride, the angels that were worshiping, they didn't pay any attention to it. I don't believe that they got all upset. I believe they just kept on worshiping and worshiping God. And that's what we have to do, is keep on worshiping God and praising God, because we have positioned into a new phase in the spiritual realm. I believe that with all of my heart. So through fasting and praying, a lot of things that I say, we heard on the, just this morning, you said something, and Pastor, I think, too. And so much of what I'm going to say, we've already heard, but hearing and hearing and hearing from the Word of God is what causes our faith to rise. It's what causes us to mature in the Word of God. So I believe that God is speaking to our hearts in such a powerful way. I know he's speaking to my heart. I want him to speak to me. And I believe that you want God to speak. If you've never heard God speak, well, God may talk to you, but God don't talk to me. Well, it's not because God don't want to. It's because you might be happy just going along the trail that you're on, but God says, no, I care for you. I love you. And I want you to have what I've got that's good. I want it for you. He really does. So the daily devotions have been spoken have been so powerful. And I believe that that is one of the things that's caused this deep stirring to escalate on those of us that's been in prayer and fasting. And I'm not saying just because you weren't here, you didn't fast and pray. But there is something about to coming together in corporate prayer. I tell you what, we had freedom around here Thursday and Friday to worship, and there's just been a shift. And I was expecting, I'm telling you what, there were places where I thought you were going to erupt and clap in your hands, because blessed be the name of the Lord as we're glorifying him, we're magnifying him. That makes my soul excited, because my soul is connected to my spirit, and my spirit is connected to my flesh. And my flesh, when I begin to sing about how wonderful God is, my flesh gets excited, because I've allowed my soul to be renewed by the Word of God. And that way my spirit can get up here, and then I can worship God freely, because it's not about me. It's not about what hurts on me. If you want to know, my feet hurt real bad. And I'll tell you something else, my back don't feel too good either. But when I'm anointed and I'm singing and all, I don't even think about it. That's the truth. Isn't that right? That's the truth. So when you get to worshiping God, you shift from yourself into Him and who He is and whose you are. And without knowing it, the next thing you know, you're just fine. You can go ahead and run through a troop and leap over a wall. Amen. Well, the second week has been pretty much that we've come through about fresh passion for our God. And I have prayed, and I know that other people have prayed, is, Lord, bring us back to the joy of our salvation. Bring us back to that place where we see you like we did when we asked you to come into our heart. And we knew that something was different. So I believe that lots of people are praying for that, returning us as a church with a capital C. That's the church. When you look around and you see what's happening, there is such an excitement and such a joy going on in the natural realm. People are standing by the thousands in line. I thought a while ago, if this was a concert, every one of these concert goers would be up on their feet and would they be having a blast? Well, I tell you what, we should have a concert every time we come, and His name is Jesus, and we should get in there with Him and worship Him and praise Him and get excited about Him. But there's thousands of people that are waiting like 5 or 6 blocks in Washington, D.C. And they're so excited to be there. They're just all having such a good time. And I thought, my goodness, it's good that they're having a good time. It's good that they feel there's a shift and there's a change. But how about the house of God? There's a shift and there's a change. And we get to be in it. But we got to show up and be present. And so I'm hoping that today a little bit of this word will break off some chains that have some people bound. Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, what is the most important commandment of God? They thought they were going to trick Jesus when they asked that question. And Matthew 22, 37, 39 says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. Number one. Okay. I want to keep His commandments. Do you? I want Him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want that. I love Him. But then He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That is the first great commandment for you and I, is to love Him. And if we're not loving Him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, that means with our whole being, inside and out. And I know this is where the problem is, but we're going to help you get rid of some problems right there. Because we've all, just like Pastor Alex said, we've all struggled with that, but I do not intend to live with that. Not when Jesus has delivered us. And then the second is equally important, Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know why you have problems with other people all the time? Because you don't love yourself too much. When we quit fussing about our past and what, and this has happened and that has happened and we don't like this and we don't like that, we need to check. And if you're having a hard time loving other people, we got to check, because see, Jesus, this is the words of Jesus. Love God first and then love your neighbor. Love the people that are around you. And some of them are so hard to love. That's right, but you don't have to love on your own. The Holy Spirit is there with us to help us to love rightly. As you love yourself, we disappoint ourselves. We do things that we never thought we would do before. We've acted in ways we never thought we would act before. But we got to forgive ourselves. We got to get to the place where we can forgive ourselves. And then that way we're going to be able to forgive others. So moving along. With all that in mind, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 58. If you want to turn there, we'll have scriptures up for you. But this scripture, passage of scriptures, it deals with our heart. It deals with our mind and the actions of our flesh. Because the sins of the flesh are against the Spirit of God. So that assignment that the enemy has to steal, kill, and destroy means that he wants to keep us in bondage instead of listening and being able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. He wants to keep us distracted. So he tries to keep us in bondage and separated from enjoying the presence of God. Do you want to enjoy the presence of God? Would you like to come into the house? And when you come in the house and you walk in, you're excited because Jesus is there. Jesus is more famous than any rock group, any country singer, any Christian group, even more popular than Trump, even more popular than your pastors, more popular than that person, that idol that you like and that you really enjoy them. Well, Jesus is more popular than any person that walks on this earth. So when we come into the house of God and you come into his presence, you should be so excited because Jesus is in the house. The Spirit of the Lord is in the house. And he made me, he created me so that I would worship him with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my body. Give it everything that I have. I'm going to lay it at his feet. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to honor him. There are doors of our mind that need to be shut because we're giving legal entry to the enemy. According to the word of God, it's just simple. It's called sin. It means to miss the mark. It means to fall short of the character of Christ. And we can all say we have fallen short because the word of God says that we have. And we know it as a fact. We've all come short of the glory of God. That's humanity. We've all failed. Don't think you're the only one to fail. Don't think your mess is the biggest mess and God can't possibly fix you. Lie, 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 lie of the enemy. But Jesus came to give you life. Don't forget that part. Jesus came to give you life. And that's who we are living up under in our lives. How many of us would really like to look like God? We'd like when somebody sees us there, say, there's a woman of God. We walk into a room and they say, oh, there's a man of God just entered the room. You can tell. How can you tell? There's just a presence. You can tell the presence of God is on them. I mean, there's something different about them and it's peaceful. You know, they're not going to say that about the ranter and the raver. They're not going to say that about the complainer that dumps their stuff on them. But they're going to say it when our heart is right and humbled before God. When we get to 58 verse 1, let's read this. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. This was a call to the church. This, even though it wasn't called the church, it was called the people of God. This was a call to them that listen up. He said, cry. The first thing God says is you better fall on your face and you better really start praying. They were in big trouble. And so when the prophet begins to speak the word of the Lord, when we start praying, there are things that are start being revealed to us personally. See, I don't need what's going on in your life to be revealed to me. I need to be revealed. God, what is it that keeps me into that place where I need to be? What little sin so easily besets me? What little habit or big habit is keeping me from being able to walk into your presence and enjoy you? What is it? I can blame it on everybody and everything. Okay, God, I'm not going to do that because I know that goes nowhere with you. But I'm asking you, oh God, by your Spirit to reveal to me what it is that keeps me out of the presence of God and into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Truth is, we can't get good until we get rid of the bad. Well, that's profound, isn't it? We can't get to the good until we get rid of the bad. Now, this is a good prayer. This is a good prayer message today, fasting message. Hang on, we're getting there. Have you ever felt like every time that you try to move that there's a chain on your ankle. You get so far, and then all of a sudden there's this chain, and you can't go any farther, and it's muddy, and you begin to get stuck. You get stuck right there. Have you ever felt like that? Could it be that the memories of the past, the guilt and the shame, the sins, maybe they need to be broken today so that you can be free, so that we can be free? Could it be that some may ask, I need to be delivered from cussing? Do we have any cussing Christians in here? Don't raise your hand. Keep them down. Keep them down. But if you cuss like the world, I mean, I know. Yes, you know, when you're first born again, you're not expected not to cuss. Go ahead, cuss. Just try not to do it around me. I don't like it. I'd have to call you and ask you for some cuss words. You know, that's the way we ought to be, right? It could be little things. I'm just picking on cussing just because I thought I just would. It doesn't matter what it is. There's no sin bigger than any other. Sin is sin. But maybe, since there's not any cussers in here, I'm sure there are at some of these other churches. I'm sure there are. They're saved, born again. Love God, but boy, when things go wrong, they have some words that it just goes like that. So natural. How does that happen? Well, what we put in comes out. That's just the way it is. And it's not easy to break those things. Oops, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. God help me. You know, and he will. But anyway, sorry if I picked on yours. When we fast, we should come not looking less like God. But every day, next month, we should look more like God than we did in January. February, we should act more like God than we did. Because, see, that's what the presence of God will do in our life. It will break chains. It will break off the junk that is keeping us from enjoying the presence of God. So let's go to verse 2 and 3. Now, he's talking prophetically here. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Boy, they're getting pointed out. They seek me daily. You know, the Pharisees were in the New Testament. Here we are in the Old Testament reading a scripture. See, mankind struggles. Mankind has always struggled. And that's just the way it is because of the fall in the garden. It's just the way it is. And so there's that struggle going on. But here's what God's, let's do number 3. Why have we fasted and you see it not? God, we've been fasting. Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Why, God? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure, saith God, and you oppress all your workers. In other words, you do all the right things, but people, when they get around you, you oppress them with your words, with your action. You don't act like you've been, y'all. You put on the show, but you don't act like it. So God's saying, you're going through religious motions, but you're not getting any results. You're pushing the plate away. You're praying and you're saying, God, I'm a tither. Why? It's all about the heart. It's all about what we're doing with this, because you can be a tither and be full of wickedness. We can't really enjoy the goodness of God when we have things that are holding us to the legalities that God wants us to position in. God wants us to position ourselves to love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your mind. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. See, I know we seem like we'll love your neighbor and then you'll love yourself. It's not really the way it goes. You got to love God and then you got to get with God and talk about the things that concern you. Let's read verse 3, the last part of it. God says you're going through religious motions, but it's not working. You're trying to appease your own conscience. but you keep on doing the same things as before. Just cussing. Now, I'm just using that just because nobody here cusses. Verse 4 and 5. See, that's the way it is. You pick something that nobody's doing, then you can talk about it, right? That church down there, I'll tell you what. I'll give them my notes. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. How are we acting? What are we doing in our everyday life? What, you know? Can anybody come and drink from a pure well of you? Do you have only good things to say about God and about people, your neighbor, yourself? This is hard. I didn't know this message was that hard when I was working it. We'll shout in a minute, okay? But I truly want to be more and more in the character of Christ, and I believe everybody here. But it's a progressive work in our lives. We have issues that we've all worked through some issues, and we're still working through some issues because of that life. I had so many insecurities. To stand like this and preach and be confident in Christ, I lived in fear. I lived in what's next, you know, what's going to happen next. I lived with that in the negative. I lived with that so many years. I had issues. I had abandonment issues in my life. Anytime I was by myself, I thought I would be left and be by myself. And I had fear issues. I had depression, sickness, victim issues, just to name a few. That's just a few. But that, I gave them up. I stopped it. I am not a victim. I am an overcomer through Christ my Savior. And so are you if you'll get that revelation and begin to live in it. We don't have to live as a victim. Just look at verse 6. Let's read it. Is this not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? That's the fast that God wants for us. That's the fast that why we're doing what we're doing. We're coming and we're praying and we say, God, we want what you want for our personal lives. We want what you want for our families. We want what you want for Solid Rock. We want what you want for this city, for this town. We want to know what your heart cry is, oh God. One translation says, he come to loose the bands of wickedness off of it. Is this not what I've chosen? The first thing he's saying, you're going to have to return to me. You're going to have to return to God. We're going to have to come with that awe and that wonder of who he is. Oh, he's a good God. He has blessed us with things we didn't ask for, relationships and things that are just, we're just so blessed. But the bottom line is, how much are we returning to God? How much time are we spending in repentance for those times when we cussed and we shouldn't? How many times have we fallen back because the enemy has tried again? And we're like, every time I try, this happens. No, we got to change this. If we start changing this because we know it's right, doesn't mean that this has changed yet. But if you'll start, like he said, if you'll take the word of God, get you two or three scriptures and begin to say them and say them with fervency and say, God, I know that your word is true. So therefore, I am going to say what you say about my situation. The first thing, we return. And then there's repentance. And then there's determination that every demonic influence is broken off of our lives. Every influence that the enemy has tried, every trick that he's tried to pull on us, we have come to a place where we're saying, enough is enough. I know I've been on this journey before, but there is a line in the sand. And don't you dare, devil, keep on, because you're going to get your teeth kicked out in Jesus' name. I'm tired of you. I'm tired of you because Jesus came to give me life and give it more abundantly. And I choose that life. We're going to have to make some decisions over our attitudes and some habits that we have. You know, we have habits. Let me see. Let me think of one that would not have any effect on you all at all. Habits. Oh. Habits. Boy, I can't think of anything you wouldn't have. Or me. Sorry, I can't name anything. We can't, you know, I knew no one cussed here. That was easy. But I know that, yeah. But anyway, there are issues in our life that has caused some deep roots. Rooted into our hearts, our soulish realm. There are some things that are there that they can be broken by the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to do it alone because we say, God, I've tried it. I can't make it work. He's like, I know. I didn't ask you to make it work. Let me. Come on, give it to me. Do we love him enough to give him our junk? He knows that anyway. Isn't it funny that we hang on thinking we're hiding something from God? My goodness, we can't hide. And the truth is, probably a prophet of God come by, they probably could read the mail that you're carrying. But it doesn't matter about if anybody else knows it. But God knows. And God says, I don't want you to have to suffer through that. I want you to know that my grace is sufficient. I care about you. I care about your brokenness. I want to break everything that holds you back from the promise of God. Bitterness, angerness, perverseness. I believe they're going to be broken off of our lives in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Immorality and generational curses. Do you know that there are generational curses and there are curses that come through the bloodline? There are curses that come by environment of where we were. And I'm telling you what, if your friends aren't children of God and they're speaking negative into your life, you take them off your phone and you run hard, run fast, because they're going to take you to the pigsty. That's a plan of the enemy. Sin is fun for a season, but sweetheart, there isn't nothing like the power and the presence of Almighty God in our life. When he comes in and he begins to deal with our heart and we begin to repent, we begin to say, oh God, I know that you are all powerful. It's you that I want. It's you that I need. I renounce these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. Sometimes we go through things in life. All of us, honestly, I think, you know, whether it's formed good or formed bad in us, we're formed. We were formed rightly in the mother's womb, but when by the time we hit the dirt, things begin to change. By the time we was 1 and a half, we wanted my toy. That's mine. We get selfish. We get jealous. We get prideful. We just get downright hateful, and hatred begins in our heart. Behavior that you don't know what to do. There's a law that will work in our lives. The Apostle Paul, he struggled with it. He said, the things that I know to do and the things that I want to do, I don't end up doing them. The things I don't want to do, man, they're easy. We can all say, yeah, oh yeah, that's 100% true. The thing, I know, you know, stealing a cookie is nothing. Oh, how about, do we have any stealers in the house? I stole cookies once. And that when that jar clanged, I felt really bad. I could never admit it except to God because I felt bad. But do we have any thieves in the house? Ooh. I'm sure we don't have any thieves, so I can say that. I bet you don't steal from God. You tithe 10% plus you give good offerings, right? Because you want the blessings. This is not a tithing message. You want to stay in covenant with God, right? Amen? It's just part of it. Are you stealing from God? Are you stealing something at Walmart and sticking it under your coat? Are you? You guys aren't. Okay, let's move on. Has anybody ever lost their temper? Oh my goodness. We don't do this. Don't watch it. It's horrible. And I mean it. We watched Road Rage the other night. Has anybody here seen that? Right after church, we'll meet with you too, and we'll make it all better, okay? We watched it the other night. Oh, my word. A few years ago, some dear friends of ours, they live in Dallas, Fort Worth, and they had taken off of a ramp. And when they did, obviously they cut somebody off. And not, they didn't mean to. Have you ever cut anybody off and you didn't see them? You didn't mean to. I mean, they didn't mean to. But when they got down to the stop sign, this man came out of the car, yelled at his wife, and crushed the windshield. Angry, angry, angry. Anger is a luxury you cannot afford. Can't afford it if you're angry inside. It's one of the worst emotions that ever can come up on a person. There was one time in my life, I went through divorce. I went through a lot of things. But see, I had depression, and depression is anger turned inside. I didn't know it. I didn't know that till I got into the strong man's, his name, what's his game? And I realized that my personality just held everything inside, but it's just as dangerous as anger. Depression is something that sticks like a cloud on you and it affects everybody you're with. Anger has the same thing happening. When you're angry, you poison the room or the car. You poison your witness. Anger. Why are we so angry? When Jesus came to give us life, why are we so angry? Do we need to be delivered from it? How do we do that? Fasting and praying will break the bondages of our life if we'll get serious about being delivered. Sometimes it's so familiar. I remember depression. I knew how to handle depression better than I did feeling really good and being free. See, the enemy has a false insecurity sometimes. Depression was like a big old heavy blanket on me. I lived with it. Daryl and I were married 2 or 3 years before he knew that I fought with depression. I had fought with it ever since I was a little bitty girl. He didn't even know because you know what? I knew all the right things to say. Just as if I had been an angry person, but I kept it from you. Same thing. But God set me free. I am free from insecurities. I'm free from being afraid to talk to anybody. I still struggle with coming right up to you, but come up to me. I love you and I'll hug you and I'll talk to you. I just have a little trouble breaking the ice, but I'm better than I used to be. I don't hide in my office anymore at conferences. I used to. Now I might go get on my knees for a few minutes and say, God, you know, here I am. But I don't have to hide because I'm so insecure I can't handle it. The first thing that fasting, a real chosen fast, is going to do is loose the bands of wickedness. I want bands of wickedness broken off of me. Do you know why we have CR? Is to help people that are in a bondage. But there's even a step farther than CR. I love CR. I'm so thankful for it. Thankful for what a beautiful ministry it is in the church. But I tell you what, when someone gets free, they are free indeed. 100% that whatever it is that's holding us down and stopping us, that wound that is so deep inside of us that we can't get past it. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to heal me and to bind up the wounds that I had. Bind up the wounds that you have, because that is not who we are. That's our testimony. That's who I was, but that is not who I am. And same with you. When we get to that place, we can love God but live defeated. We can have God. We know the scriptures. We can have what we say we can have. But if we're not in alignment with the Word of God, we don't even know what that passage is talking about. You can have joy in a world full of trouble. You can have peace in a world full of trouble. You can have prosperity in the world of trouble. And I'm not just talking about money, but you know what? Money is a means of exchange. And that means he gave it to me so I can give it somewhere else. A means of exchange. That's all it is. Because when I leave, my kids are still going to be just fine. Not because I left that money to them, but because I left them an inheritance of the anointing and the legacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what my daddy did for me. He taught me the ways of the Lord. He prayed. I saw him pray all the time. His Bible, my goodness, his Bibles that he have so many little scratches and words of the Lord that he would write down. I want to be that kind of mama to my kids. I want all of those that I come in contact with. I want them to see the glory of God on my life. And I know that that's your desire. I know it is because the body of Christ wants to be everything that we can be, what he's called us for. That's what we want in our life. I believe that the messages that were preached in the fall, the messages that Pastor has preached have been absolutely amazing on fasting and praying. I believe that one of the things that's been happening, we have been declaring war on the enemy. That's why we have fasted and prayed. I don't know when we started, November, I think. I'm not really sure where we've been praying for those that Pastor just mentioned a while ago. We've been praying on a daily basis because different ones have taken days, and we've been praying, and we are believing God. And you know what? We've seen the times when, I mean, they have been doing good, better than they've done in a long time. And then the enemy comes in, and it's like, don't you dare say it ain't working, because it's working. If it can work for 2 weeks, it can work for a lot longer than that. So we don't give up, and we don't stop. We don't let our guard down. We're declaring war on the devil, because this is not a playground. This is not a place we come in to play. This is a sanctuary of the Lord, where the Spirit of God should be present at all times. And if he's present in your life, you will sense him in this house. We're not going to die prematurely. When I go, you're going to know God was done. I'm not going before my time. I don't know what that is, but I'll just go ahead and plan on another 10 years, and then we'll up it another 10. Whatever. But I know that God's got what we don't have. We're not going to live a life of destructive plan of the enemy. No more nervous breakdowns. Oh my gosh, my poor kids, bless their hearts. I'm so sorry they had to see me in those states. It's not a pretty picture. But I'll never have another one. I've went through worse things than that period of time where it was at. And God still restored my soul in the midst of trial and tribulation and sorrow and grief, loss. He is there. No more fear of what if and if only. I don't do that in my life. I know what the Word of God says. I don't have to if only. I don't have to say what if. Because those are scenarios that I don't need to go, and neither do you. We don't need to go there. What if or if only? No, because God is still God. Jesus has defeated the enemy and given us the same Spirit, the same resurrected Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Brought him out of that grave. That same Spirit. That just blows me away. That the Spirit that stripped hell and brought Jesus out of the grave. He went away and he said to his disciples, that same Spirit, I'm leaving that with you. And it's like, oh my goodness. So why are we staying in the same spot? Could it be that there's something that needs to be broken in the spiritual realm? The enemy tries to align us against us from moving toward the presence of God, because we know that in the presence of God, we will begin to find purpose of God. How many days do we waste not being fulfilled because we don't know what the purpose of God is? The purpose of God is that you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So let's just start elementary. That sounds easy, didn't it? But it's not so easy. But that's where we start. I don't want to get ahead of myself, so just be patient with me. I'll have you pretty soon at noon. Everything that the enemy is trying to align against us, we break it by the blood of Jesus. We see the mantle and the mandate that God has placed on our lives. There are mandates upon you that sit in this house. God's got something for you. And you keep saying, I don't know what it is. I feel frustrated. I feel like I'm lost. I feel like I don't know. I'm just out here going back and forth, and it's just getting worse. That's because the enemy has been at work. On this side, it's already been done. So we've got to line up with the Spirit of God. We've got to line up with His plan. And you know what? We're going to rise up. We are foreigners in this land. This is not our home. We're ambassadors here. This is not our resting place. This is not where life ends at. It is not. You may think that you've got forever, but we don't know. We don't know what day. We just know that we're going to make today count. What are you doing with your life? There's been some structural adjustment. You can come on up to Josh if you don't mind. There's been some structural adjustment going on. Here again, look at our nation. We don't have to agree one way or the other, but look at our nation. Look at the structural realignment that's happened in the natural. See, as it is in the natural, so is it in the spiritual realm. The Lord spoke to me at the first of year, I think it might have been 17, 18, I don't know, somewhere in there, about repositioning, and I just, like, I didn't understand. Okay, really, repositioning. I didn't feel like He was going to move us anywhere, but repositioning. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready, because I'm going to do something in and through you that only God could do. God has been repositioning His church where that worship is not awkward. Where laughter comes easy because of the joy of the Lord. The song of the Lord springs forth because of what's in here. That's what God is doing and wants to do. Jesus came to give me life and to have it abundantly. Abundant life does not include fear. If you're living in fear, it's not of God.
That's right.
I'm not judging you. I lived there, so I can say that. I know we don't have any quarrelers in the house, but maybe we do. See, abundant life doesn't quarrel. Abundant life doesn't have bitterness. See, we can only check our own hearts, but if it's touching somewhere, then see, you're in the right place today. You're just exactly where God wanted you to be. Unforgiveness. Search me, O Lord. Show me my heart, because sometimes I'm tricking myself. I'm deceiving my own self when I have some unforgiveness in my life. I know you've heard this story, but I'm going to tell it again. Pastor Daryl and I, we had only been married a few years, and I was a new pastor's wife, and it was so overwhelming. And I was still carrying depression. I still had so many fears. Daryl used to, we'd go out with people and they'd say, "Darlene, you got to talk." And I'm like, "I like to listen." But truth was, and I do like to listen, don't get me wrong, but the truth was, I was afraid I'd say the wrong thing, or who wanted to hear anything from me anyway. Well, we went to the meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Billy Joe Daugherty at that time was the pastor, and he had Jack Hayford had preached a beautiful message. The only thing I remember about his message was that he had pictures of his grandchildren and children. Yeah, birthday cards. And he was reading them to us. You know, that was the day before you had all this fancy stuff. You could put everything up there. But he read them to us. And it was just so sweet. It was so funny. It was so cute. I don't know what he preached. But God did. See, you may not remember a whole lot of this message, but I believe if you'll open your mind, God will cause you to remember something about this day. And getting ready to go, Billy Joe came up, was dismissing everybody. And we were sitting, the Maybe Center is very large, lots of seats. I don't know how many people a seat. And we were sitting probably about the 10th, 12th roll up. I don't know. We were up there in the nosebleeds because we wanted to be. I was on our way down there. I wept and I cried. And I was like, I want to be a good wife. I want to be a good pastor's wife. This is so much. You can't please this one. You can't please that one. I was green. And I was suffering in my emotions. And he looked up at me and he pointed his finger and he said, that lady up there in the, I think he said, I don't know, he either said gray or green. I had borrowed that suit. I didn't know what color it was, and I was not expecting the Lord to knock on my door at that moment. I just ignored it. And he did it again. He said, that lady up there in the green suit, probably gray. He said, and the way that somebody behind me punched me on the shoulder said, he's talking to you. And I'm like, me? And Billy Joe said, yes, you. Is that your husband sitting next to you? Yes. Come on down. We made our way down to the front. And the first thing he did, he pointed his finger at us. And Daryl and I both felt like this. But we didn't tell anybody else we felt like this. But when you have preachers that you love and I'll come and knock on your door and tell you that if you don't leave the church because we've been remarried, then the church is going to close. Told me that. Daryl wasn't here, so he just told me. My heart was broken. Billy Joe said, pointed out the finger and he said, you are not second class citizens. God called you. He didn't know us from Adam. Nothing about us. We're not second class Christians. And he prophesied some stuff over us that God was going to use us. He was going to open doors that we couldn't even believe. But the thing that he said next, it was rough. He said, this is what the Lord says. You go back to your hotel room and you get on your knees. And you forgive every person that has hurt you. You forgive them. You let it go. And we went back. We knew God had spoken because he does it in ways where we'll know that it was God. And we begin to pray. My first one was my mama, because I needed my mama's love. But see, I was so into my own feelings. I didn't, it's only been till recently that I understood that, she couldn't help herself sometimes. She was sick. She had things going on in her mind, things that she was sick. She couldn't help it. But I just wept and wept and wept. And then it came to my husband that had harmed my children and the baggage that I carried. And Daryl, he had some that he needed to take care of. And when that happened, I got up. We wept before the Lord for a long time, did everything I could, and I cried with tears of humbleness of heart. The next day, did I feel any different? I probably didn't. I don't think I did, but we made restitution. My mama was already gone. I couldn't tell her. But we made phone calls. And we said, I had unforgiveness in my heart towards you, and I'm sorry. One response was, well, I was waiting for you to call and say you were sorry. See, that's the way the enemy does. He never wants to take blame. He doesn't want us to take blame, but we need to take the blame that we we're to blame for a lot of our mess, a lot of our mess. And we need to own up to that so we can be free. But I know that little by little by little by little, from that first step of forgiveness, I didn't know that I was supposed to forgive myself. That took long years. I was only probably about 10 years. I don't even know it's been that long. Where the shame that I had, I was afraid to tell anybody what about my life because I thought they wouldn't love me. They sure wouldn't want to hear me preach. But God took that shame when I forgave myself. And I've walked in a freedom. My girls have told me, because they make a lot of excuses why it's hard to get up in front of people. And they say, it's easy for you. You just get up there confidently. And I said, yeah, it is, because my confidence is in Him. I know I can't do it, but I gave that one up. I'll just, when I'm asked or when I, whatever, I'll just walk up and I will preach with the anointing that He gives me. You stand to your feet. The worship team, you can come up. I believe that every door that has been opened in our lives need to be shut. Are you ready to shut some doors today? There are demonic spirits that are assigned to you to take you out. They're assigned to you to take you out. That's the plan of the enemy. But oh, Jesus came to give me life and to give it more abundantly. See, there's a shift in this house. There's a shift. Maybe you've been judgmental. Maybe you've been critical. Maybe you've been jealous. Maybe you've been full of pride. Maybe you've been very narcissistic. Maybe you think your way is the only way. That's a hard one to say, you know, I'm a narcissist. That's hard. But we got to check inwardly. Because see, God, even if we are any of these things, a liar, that people can't believe what I say. I know, I just lie. That's the church down there. They lie, not us. But see, God don't want to leave us like we are. Abundant life is what He promised us. See, there's a shift. It's a shift in the service. There's surrender. There is a humble spirit, a posture that says, God, I want You. That says, I'm no longer a slave to the devil. I'm no longer a slave to the personality traits that I know that are bringing me down and bringing other people around me down. See, those are hard to admit. They're hard. I don't know. God wants us to be repositioned to the front line. He wants His church to be up front. And I'm not talking about help here. It's good. But He wants us to be up front with the way that we live. He wants His church. Because the whole earth is groaning for the day of the Lord to appear to them. They're looking for a place where they can come in and they can sense that something's going on in the house. And they want to be part of that because it's breaking yokes and bondage and things that are troubling the minds of God's people. I don't know what has pushed you back. I don't know if it's a divorce. 5 divorces or 6. I don't know if it's depression. I don't know if it's something that's stuck from your childhood that caused you to derail your life temporarily. Because see, there's people praying for you, whether you want them to or not. They are praying for you. Just because we've been delayed doesn't mean we've been denied. See, God loves us so much that He don't want to push us out there so that we make a fool of ourselves. Sometimes we just have to sit still and grow in the presence of God. I believe that God is about to take situations that's been going on in your life, and the supernatural is going to come in it. we are acknowledging, we are renouncing, and we are getting rid of things that are weighing us down. Is anybody in today? Is anybody interested in this happening in your life? Anybody want to be free? Anybody want to be able to walk in the life that God promised us? The abundant life means that there's trouble on the right, there's trouble on the left, things aren't going my way, but there's one thing that is, and that's the presence of God. I can get in my closet, I can sit, I can kneel, whatever I want to do. I know that His presence will meet me because He loves me and He cares, but not any more than He loves you and cares for you. He loves His church. Let's read verse 7. I know you all thought I was done. I just wanted you to get up for a minute. Hey, we have to drive 5 hours to be in a meeting. Supposed at 5 o'clock, so you guys just hang in there. I'll keep Pastor on the road. We'll be just fine. We'll be just fine. It's okay. It's okay. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless? See, God's still speaking. This is a fast that I want you to care about others and bring the homeless into your house. When you see the naked, cover them and not hide yourself from your own flesh. In other words, it means when you see people doing things that they shouldn't be doing. We have a humble spirit. Pastor mentioned it before. How do we look at people with issues? How do we look at people that's had a lot of failures in their lives? Well, we should look at them just like God does us. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. But the thing here, unforgiveness, we talked about that. This scripture is talking about, it aligns with the Word of God. It deals with being generous. How do we be generous? How do we be generous? When you can let go of every possession that you have and you can give with a generous heart and with thanksgiving. I feel for people that they don't have it resolved in giving. I feel for them because you'll stay right where you're at for year after year after year after year. You will. I'm telling you, a generous heart will be made fat. In other words, it will have the blessings and the banner and the cover of the Lord over your life. God doesn't need your money, and God has ways to get money to His people. It's not dependent upon you, but I thank God that I learned to have a generous heart because I love giving more than anything else in my life because it is a spirit of my Father. And He will say to you, just like He said to you, I will get it to you if I can get it through you. Generosity will get rid of stinginess in our life. So for all the stingy people that might be in the house or down the road, this message is for you. Then let's read verse 8. Then, it's interesting, and we can't go there, but you know, I read about people that were filled with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament before the day of Pentecost, and that's another thing. But immediately when the Spirit of the Lord would come upon them and their eyes were open, they would begin to prophesy. Do you know that when the light comes, your life shall break forth and God will begin to use you to speak to other people. And your healing, those things that you're needing healing in, your mind, your physical body, right relationships, healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Now, is that good stuff or is that good stuff? Let's move on. One of the things I was going to mention was Psalm 42, but you need to read it. Verse 10 through 14. Let's read it, Isaiah 58. Then you shall 10. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. Go ahead. And we know it's bright in the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places, dry times, other people around, or even when you're in a dry part of your life, even in your scorched places. He's going to take care of you, even when it doesn't look like anything's happening, because you know the Lord your God is working everything out for your good. And make your bones strong. Thank God for strong bones. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water where the waters do not fail. Oh my, what a promise. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. That's what this fasting is all about, to build up the places, foundation, so that our children and our grandchildren can know about the awesome, wonderful God. Because I'm telling you what, the world out there is not telling them that. They're being lied to all the time by adults, by their friends, and on and on and on. But the light of the world, when we begin to build foundations for the generations, may that be what Daryl and I have done at this church. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in, a place where they can rent, a place where they know their foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn back your foot from Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call it the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable. If you honor it, not just going your own ways and seeking your own pleasure, boy, there's something about honoring the Lord. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, or talking idly. I wonder why they put that one in there. Is that the last one? One more? Then you shall take the delight in the world, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. In other words, this world is not going to rule us. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, and for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We are pulled into that through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we have that inheritance as well. As the worship team begins to sing, I want to make this time, I don't know, just for a few moments. Is there anyone in the house that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or maybe you did know, but you have backed away and you're living in a life that isn't bringing you anything but heartache and trouble. I encourage you to get past yourself. Don't be embarrassed. You don't have to be embarrassed. There's not one person in here that hasn't failed. Not one person. There is none that are righteous in themselves. Maybe you've wondered today. God says, I want to break some bondages off of your life. Can't seem to get to the place that your heart's desiring. If you're in the house, I'm just going to ask you, as we sing this song, you can do it from your seat. It doesn't matter to me. But I tell you what, there's a sweet, sweet presence up here. And if you just want to step forward for a few minutes, if you need us to pray with you, let us know. But otherwise, come and worship Him for a few moments, and then you can go home. We love you, but don't let the enemy keep doing that. Father, I pray over this congregation today. I pray over our listeners. I pray in the name of Jesus that your word would come alive, because they studied it. If we're not getting the word inside of us, we do not have a weapon that will break yokes and bondage. So I pray, oh God, that they'll get into your word. I pray this congregation gets into your word like never before. in 2025 a revelation when they read, a revelation, oh God, when they hear your word, a revelation, oh God, that you are for us, not against us, and that we know clearly who our enemy is. And we will not allow him to steal our children. We will not allow him to take us down in the name of Jesus.